This is a fancy place, isn't it? Really fancy. I haven't been to many places that is this fancy. So, wow, come to Alberta. Yeah, look at that. It's really, really fancy. You've done a wonderful job. And like Denise said, I had the opportunity to meet with some of your planning committee in September. And you know, they were talking about this and that, and boom, look at that. How wonderful. And how wonderful is it to have all the king's daughters in this place? So what I would like you to do is, I need you to find a partner. Find a partner now. Now, you don't have to get up or anything. You just have to be facing someone, okay? So face someone. If you need to turn around, you can turn around. Does everyone have someone to look at? Yes? Okay. Who doesn't have someone? Okay. That's true. But that's okay. I'm in charge for a little bit. Look at the person. Try not to laugh. Now I want you to say to that person, you are so... You are so... beautiful. Wait, you're not done. You belong to the greatest, most amazing Father ever. And you are one of His daughters. Now I want you to hug that person. Hug them, hug them. Hug them. I don't know if you met somebody new. I don't know if you met somebody new, but usually when you stare into someone's face, the walls come down, right? I hope that you met a sister that you will never forget the rest of this weekend. I hope you met somebody new. I just want to say that I don't know very many people in Alberta, but I do know a few people. And when they were all standing up here, this lovely lady, Judith, said that she had a daughter. I thought Judith was a student. Judith looks young, okay? Even when the lights are on you, I thought you were like a college student. And then you said you had a daughter, and I said to my friend, that's a mom? Wow, you're very beautiful. Now, usually at award shows like the Oscars or the Grammys or film festival, fundraising gala, you see pictures of women totally decked out, right? Have you seen it on a magazine? Sometimes they have really fancy dresses and they have like beautiful earrings and then they stand like this. And they stand like this, right? And it's all about the sparkles and the ice and the shine and the bling. There's a reason why diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? It's because they're precious. You don't find diamonds just around the parking lot, kicking around in the dirt. They are expensive because they're rare. It's a luxury. Not everybody has diamonds. They are kept in safes and in vaults. And because they are so valuable, they're difficult to mine and shape and polish into perfection. Diamonds are special. Now, are you familiar with cubic zirconia? Some ladies are like, no, I don't do cubic zirconia. Cubic zirconia is man-made. It's a synthesized material. It's hard, it's optically flawless, and it can be dyed into many different colors. And to the untrained eye, they may shine like a diamond. Cubic zirconia may sparkle like a diamond, but it's definitely not the real thing. Okay, so I have a picture here. One of them is a diamond, one of them is cubic zirconia. Now, if you think the taupe or the orange gem is a diamond, put your hand up. If you think, okay, if you think the lady there with the apple is a diamond, put your hand up. And how many Adventist women do not know? No, you don't know about the jewelry. Okay. Okay. The cubic zirconia is the lady with the apple. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to show you a next picture. Oh, look at that. Now it's really hard. Does anybody know the difference between the diamond and the cubic zirconia? If you think the diamond is the picture on the left, put your hand up. If you think the diamond is the picture on the right, put your hand up. Okay, the diamond is the one on the right. Look at that. Look at that. Now, cubic zirconia isn't found like in a mine with rocks and things like that. It's manufactured in a lab. Diamonds are protected and celebrated. Cubic zirconia, not so much. So what's the difference then between diamonds and cubic zirconia? Its maker. Who made diamonds? God made diamonds. It's a unique part of our earth. Cubic zirconia is the cheap knockoff, an imposter that loses its luster and isn't worth very much. And over time, its value decreases and becomes nothing but costumey junk. But God doesn't make junk. Now, how many of you are staying at the hotel? Okay, great. How many of you have a mirror in your hotel? How many of you looked in the mirror before coming to dinner? Okay. When you looked in the mirror, what did you see? Did you see somebody that needed an eyebrow wax? Did you see someone maybe that looked tired and had red eyes? Did you see a boss? Did you see a stressed out student? Did you see somebody who maybe you saw a tired mom in the reflection? Do you think that you're a piece of cheap cubic zirconia? Or do you realize that you are a precious stone, a unique creation made by God, and God doesn't make junk? Now, too often we compare ourselves to the stuff that we see on TV, the stuff that is presented before us in social media. My hair needs to be long and straight. I need to be thin. I need to have lots of power. I need to be sexy. I need to climb up the corporate ladder to feel important. I need my kids to only eat organic and be potty trained by the time they're one. And if we falter from any of those standards, we feel bad about ourselves. But you know what? Life can throw us some really crazy challenges. It can leave us feeling worthless. Maybe you didn't get into the program at school that you wanted to. Maybe you got overlooked for a promotion at work. Maybe your dad has cancer. Maybe you have financial trouble. Maybe you haven't even talked to your parents in years. Maybe you have a dysfunctional marriage, an abusive spouse. Maybe you have a somber diagnosis. Maybe everyone makes fun of you at school. All of these trials can leave us feeling like junk. But God doesn't make junk. No matter what Satan may try and have you think, trying to sell you some cheap cubic zirconia, you, my sisters, are exclusive, handmade by God, diamonds. Now, I'm going to, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. If you don't have your Bible, it's right up at the front. We're going to read it together. Are you ready? One, two, three. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. This is to remind us that you are a chosen group of women. A group of holy women, belonging to God, just like Queen Esther. Now, Queen Esther, we always paint her as brave and courageous, right? Yes. An amazing reminder that God doesn't make junk. And there are four things that I'd like us to learn from the story of Esther. The first lesson is, number one, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Now, the account of Esther begins in 483 BC. This is 37 years before Nehemiah rebuilds the Jerusalem walls, okay? And King Xerxes is throwing a big party. It's so big, it's called a partay, okay? A really big, opulent, luxurious party. Now, they describe it in the Bible as, you know, lush fabrics, like the ones out there. They describe it as lots of people, like the people in here. They describe it as so much food, like the food you just had in there. They describe it as everybody had their own gold goblet, and no two of them were alike. And you had your own personal waiter that gave you whatever you wanted. I want a grilled cheese. I want oxtail. I want punsits. All of it, anything you wanted, it was for you. Now, this party was so vast, it covered 127 provinces. 127 provinces. Now, it kind of ranged from India to Northern Africa. What? Do you know how rich King Xerxes was? 127 provinces. And at the end of this party, he had an even bigger party, and it lasted for 7 days straight. Partying and drinking and taking selfies and, you know, just having a really, really good time. And he was married to this really beautiful woman. Her name was, do you remember her name? Queen Vashti. And he says to her, hey girl, you know, can you come and like show everyone how pretty you are? And he gets his boys to call her, and he wants her to, you know, like do a twirl or maybe take her clothes off. And so Queen Vashti was like, no, it's not going to happen. I refuse. This was supposed to be, you know, the highlight of the party, the super hot wife that comes out. And she says no. A woman shows a little independence, and all the men are on that like, oh, no, no, no. Gotta lock that down, King Xerxes. You can't. Everybody's watching. Your wife just totally said no. All the husbands are watching. So you need to kick Vashti out. And let's write a decree to all the 127 provinces, to every household, and let's make a law that says that all the women have to obey their husbands. What a great idea. And so the king says bye-bye to his Queen Vashti, gone from her presence forever. And then he felt sad. He said, Vashti, I used to love you. I'm so sad. I have no more woman. And so his advisors were all on that. And they said, hey, I have an idea. Let's get the prettiest virgins in all of the 127 provinces, and you pick one. And so for the first time ever in life, we have the bachelor. Yeah. You think ABC came out with that idea on their own? No, that's straight from scripture. All the prettiest girls, and he gets to pick one. And so King Xerxes, he's there. He is so excited that that idea really appealed to him. And now Esther comes along. Her Hebrew name is Hadassah. And when her parents died, her cousin Mordecai raised her like his own daughter. And Esther was selected as one of the contestants because of her beauty. She was pampered, and she had a facial, and she got extensions. And they got her nails, and the massage, and the pedicure, and the manicure. And when the time came for her to be considered by the king, he was so impressed. He shut the whole thing down. He was like, you. Done. I want that lady. Mordecai, however, tells her to keep her identity as a Jew concealed. Don't tell anyone. And so she doesn't. Now, Xerxes probably didn't even care where she was from. He was so in love with her. But God had a plan for Hadassah. He took her from, you know, this orphan, humble beginnings, and he brought her to royalty. Her beauty that was once overlooked is now celebrated. She's going to be on public display for everybody. Interesting that God is not mentioned once in the book of Esther. What can we learn from that? Do you know what we can learn? We can learn that even secular people can benefit from God. My sisters, it's not only going to be Adventists in heaven. Right? Sometimes we get a little bit snobby. They're not Adventist. Whoa. God is not mentioned once in this book. But yet you see God's hand in the entire thing. And so let's look at Esther 4, verses 14 and 16. Now, you know this story very well. Haman is trying to exterminate the Jews. And Esther 4:14 and 16 says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will do the same as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, and even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Lesson number one, God has a plan for your life. She could have kept it a secret like she did the first time. We can't claim to be Christians when it's convenient for us. We need to be Jesus followers all the time. Now, I don't know what Mordecai was thinking. Don't tell. And now, oh yeah, pray, tell. We can't pick and choose. Lesson number two, Satan has a plan for your life. Now, the Bible tells us that Mordecai would not bow down to the king to pay him honor, and it outraged Haman. And verse 5 says, when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of just killing Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked, you are a nice lady. Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people. Now, that's revenge next level. I got an issue with you. I'm going to kill your whole family. This is what's happening. Satan's goal is to try and sell us some cubic zirconia and pass it off like the real thing. It's the ultimate sabotage. And when you look at the history of the children of Israel, look what he did to them. Sold them into slavery. Some of them couldn't even get into the promised land. Then they were sold into slavery, and then they rebelled, idolatry, witchcraft, and then they were stuck in Assyrian Babylon. And now here they are again. Satan is trying to kill an entire population of Jews. Do not be surprised, my friends. What does John 10:10 says? Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Satan has a plan for your life. When I was at Andrews, I was in seminary there. I lived in Garland D. I don't know if anyone has ever seen the student housing. Okay, it's like that brown block. It looks like a prison on the outside. And then you go inside and you're like, oh, it is a prison. I'm just kidding. Everything is metal. Metal kitchen cabinets, metal bookcase, weird patio furniture as your couch. So it was a little bit, it's not like home, right? And so this is where I lived. I lived in Garland D in the bottom floor. And after some time there, I was extremely homesick. I was having a very difficult time adjusting to seminary and just this prison. I thought, why don't I move out, right? It's good problem solving. But because it was already second semester, there wasn't a lot of, you know, free roommates around. And so I was asking my friends, hey, do you want to move in together? And they're like, no, get out of here. And then one of my friends said, I know this girl. And let me just put that out there as a warning. If anyone starts a conversation with, I know this girl, doesn't end well, friends. And so me and this girl went to go look at places to live. And we found this place. It had a washer and a dryer and a fireplace. I know. 2 bedrooms. Everything was made out of wood. There was no steel. And the house, it was like a basement apartment. It was in this wooded lot, like Snow White was going to live there. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Let's do this. And so the plan was, I sign the lease, and she pays me. See, all you experienced women know that this is not a good plan. But I'm young, I don't know anything. And so, you know, I was like, oh my goodness, thank you. You're such an answer to my prayers. And I went back to Toronto for like March break. And the plan was, you know, we get back together after March and we move in. Amen. And so I went home to Toronto. I told my parents and they said, oh no, no, this is... And I said, oh, come on, Dad. It's like, let me live a little. Okay, I would never say that to my dad. That's what I was thinking. I would never say that. And so I go back to Andrews, and I'm doot, doot, doot. It's just ringing. And I, hi, this is Liz. You know, we're just going to move in. I was just wondering if you could call me back. She never called me back. And so I called again. Beep, 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 beep. Hello, this is Liz. We're going to move in. You got to call me back. No answer. I called and I called, no answer. The apartment came and the apartment went. And I called my friend and I was like, what's up with your girl? She's supposed to be my roommate. And he was like, I don't know what happened. And I was so angry. People ask me how I'm doing. You want to know how I'm doing? I live in Garland D. What do you think I'm doing? So, you know, time passes. And I worked at the Architecture Resource Center. This was my job. And I would open up my boss's mail. Everything comes to her desk. I open it and sort it. And on this particular day, the county newspaper came to her desk. And I opened it and I flipped it under. And there was a big convicted. I was like, gee, what is that? And whose face do I see on the paper? My would-be roommate, this girl, was printing her own money. Is the conference president still here? No? Okay. This girl was using counterfeit money. I was a seminary student. And so I'm going to collect rent in counterfeit money. Convicted. Satan has a plan for your life. And it is not a good one. Counterfeit happiness, fake people, shallow relationships, greed, low self-esteem, depression, addiction, these are all a part of Satan's plan to lead you away from God down a road to death. Satan has a plan for your life. But praise God, he has a plan for your life too. And so lesson number three, you have a choice. And so did Esther. She could have kept her mouth shut like she did the first time and let her people and family die, or she could take a chance, a big chance. Everybody knows that King Xerxes kicked his previous wife to the curb for not obeying the rules. I summoned you, you did not come, bye-bye. So she knew that if he did not put out his royal scepter to accept her, she would be gone. She could be put to death. And so she asks the people to fast. Now, the Bible does not say pray. It only says fast. But I'm sorry, you cannot have one without the other. These two things must go together. And so she says, fast. You fast, I'm gonna fast, we're all gonna fast. She recognized the severity of the situation and she fasts and prays with all of her people. Now you and I, we are living in a world that is very dark. God does not want us to keep quiet. He wants us to get together. He wants us to fast and pray. You know, you watch the news for 2 minutes. You turn on the internet. What's the thing that flashes up? You read the newspaper. You look in your own neighborhood. This world is some crazy stuff. There are girls missing in Washington, D.C. There's people missing. They, like, disappeared. What? That doesn't make any sense. Somebody's gonna snatch your child? This is the world that we live in. And you will see evidence everywhere that God is coming very, very soon. The Bible says, hey, you see natural disasters, you see moral decline, you see changing of laws, then you know I'm coming soon. So don't take it lightly. Seek the Lord with your friends. Get your girls together, your sisters. You fast and you pray with them. You go to the prayer walk. You go to morning devotion. Come to the prayer room and pray with your family and your friends so you will have the courage to stand. Because let's be honest, Satan will shake you. He will shake you. And God is depending on each one of us to be loud, to be bright. And you know, it's interesting because we are very willing to share about, you know, where we got these shoes, where diapers are on sale, your hairdresser, what mobile plan you're on. But sometimes when we're asked to talk about God, we are very quiet. We're shy. But I guarantee every single one of us has family and friends who don't know God. It could be your spouse, it could be your brother, your sister, your auntie, people that you work with. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you think about it, God doesn't need our help. Does he? No. But he allows us to share in this gospel message. It's an honor, and it's a responsibility. Queen Esther didn't have to risk giving up her jewels. She didn't have to risk giving up the nice treatment, the security, the clothes, the attention. She could have been rejected and put to death, but her faith and courage gives her victory. The Bible already tells us how it all ends. Who wins? Who wins? Oh, but you have to say it like you know it. Who wins? Yes, God has a plan for your life, and so does Satan, but we have a choice. Lesson number 4, God has the answer. He has not abandoned us. Now, remember how Jesus told us to go and make disciples? He also told us that he would be with us to the very end of the age. Even when things look yuck, and when you're so tired and you don't even know why, God said, I'm going to be with you right until all of that. Still, he has your best interest at heart. He is for you 100%. Now, Denise had mentioned that, you know, my mom was going to come here, and we were really looking forward to coming together. So very much looking forward to coming together. And you know, I love my family, I love my husband and my kids, but sometimes I just don't want to be around them, right? I'm sure I'm not the only one that kind of wanted to get away from some people at home. And so this was an opportunity for my mom and I to come and to just spend some quality time together. And because my mom couldn't come, my friend Jesse came with me. And you'll hear more about how that all worked together. But my mom, she had the stroke. And oh my word. If you met my mom, you would have met Denise. She's the Filipino version of Denise. Okay? And so I think if they met, they would have exploded. Nothing could contain the energy. And so my mom is so much energy. And there she was. She can't stand still. She cannot sit. It was like she was jello. And let me just share with you my mom's personality. The PT and the OT people come and they're really trying to force my mom to stand and, you know, get to the toilet. And she's standing there and she's wearing this brutal hospital gown and she's walking and she's really struggling and she says, I just want to wear high heels again. Yes. Goals, right? Doesn't matter that my blood pressure was over 250. Doesn't matter that I vomited all over the floor. It doesn't matter that I can't stand and I can't sit, but I need to wear those high heels again. And I'm just going to share with you how interesting God works. Before my mom had the stroke, my friend Jesse and I had preached together, and you get to hear her testimony, and it is amazing. And I said to Jesse, oh, I really wish you could come with me and share your testimony with all these amazing women in Alberta. And so we said, okay, let's pray for $2,000. That'll cover your flight and your hotel and the registration. So So we prayed together that afternoon. We were like, Jesus, please give us $2,000. And okay, didn't happen. Didn't happen. But what happened is mom had a stroke. And because of that, it just so happened the airline wouldn't give me a refund. And so I said, hey, can I change the name on the ticket? And they said, yeah. And so now I have a new bodyguard with me this weekend. And when you meet her, your mind will be blown. She is amazing. And so when I told my mom that Jesse was coming, she said, okay, good. And she told all the nurses and the doctors, I was supposed to go to Alberta, but I cannot go anymore. But Jesse's going to go with my daughter. The way God works for you, even in something like that, in a stroke, what? You're going to make a way for Jesse to come? God is for you 100%. My friends, do not let Satan fool you. God's promises do not vanish because of our feelings. Well, I don't feel like God's for me. God's promises withstand your feelings. Jesus wants to save us. He wants to baptize us. And he wants to send us into a world, and he wants us to say, hey, tell everybody what you know. Tell everyone about me. And this world may tell you you're nothing unless you look like this and you talk like that and you have this and you drive that. Society will constantly push that the ultimate goal is to be hot, sexy, rich, and famous. There are TV shows about it. There are songs sung about it. There are movies made to portray it, but it's all man-made and Satan-produced. It's all cubic zirconia. Our scripture reading said, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Praise God. Praise God on this Sabbath evening that he turns the wisdom of the world on its head. And he uses the most unlikely people to accomplish his plan. Let us offer thanks that God has an important purpose for each one of us. Now, you all come from different walks of life, different families, different careers, different education. You need to be reminded that God doesn't make junk. And so what I would like you to do, when you get back to your hotel room or your home or your car, I want you to take your eyeliner or your lipstick or your brow pencil, and I want you to write on the mirror, God doesn't make junk. Don't worry, housekeeping can wash it off after. But for the time that you are here, every time you brush your teeth, every time you wash your face and you look up, you need to see that God doesn't make junk. God has a plan for your life. Satan has a plan for your life. But you have a choice. God has the answer. I'm going to ask you to make a choice for Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand. Soren Kierkegaard told a story of thieves that broke into a jewelry store, but they didn't steal anything. What they did do was change all the price tags on the jewelry. The next morning, expensive jewelry was sold as junk. The point is obvious. We live in a world where someone has rearranged the price tags on you. But each one of you were created on purpose. Each one of you were created uniquely. And God has his signature on each one of you. Just like how when an artist paints something, they sign it. When God made you, he signed his name on you. Our value is not based on what we have, but in who made us. Now I want you to look at the person you were looking at earlier. Look at them. Yes, look at them. Yeah, this is supposed to be your friend now. So I don't know why it's funny. Is there men in the room? Is there men? No. All right. Just checking. Okay. I can't see, right? Look at your partner. I want you to say, my sister.
My sister.
My beautiful sister.
My beautiful sister.
I want you to remember. No matter what. These guys are going to get extra credit. No matter what. God doesn't make junk. You hug that woman. You hug that sister. You hug that daughter. All right, please be seated. You guys are rowdy. Very rowdy. That's what happens when women get together. Oh boy. This is only the first night, ladies. You guys are very rowdy. Especially this section over here. We're going to have a special music, and then we're going to pray together. Okay, so I'm going to invite special music to come.